Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast, episode 10 already. And our guest today is David Benoliel. David, I pronounced your name in the French way. Is that okay?
That's perfect. I haven't heard it pronounced that well in years.
Yeah, as I just said in the preparation of the podcast, of the LinkedIn Live, if you're watching this, it's the first time that I do my podcast also on the live, so people on LinkedIn Live will see it first. Yeah, actually, I'm from Belgium, so French is my second language, so I have kind of an accent in English, but less in French, I would say. So, David, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I was just thinking myself, I think French is my second language. I was born in Quebec. I'm here, I live in Ontario. I think French may be my third language because my parents are Spanish, so you grow up with your cradle tongue, and then English and French, so it was always interchangeable in my world.
Yeah, but you know, I like also to speak English with other marketers because that's often more easy to find the right words. I don't need to find, you know, because in French, lots of words in English are translated, and in those technical terms, it's not always easy to find
the right word.
So, happy that I have you on my podcast. In the announcement on LinkedIn, I also talked about your co-founder, Cyrus. I don't think he will be able to join us today because I know you guys are both very busy and you try to be a bit, divide the work between you two. So tell us a bit about yourself, David. Who are you? What's your company?
Yeah, of course. It's too bad Cyrus can't join. It's interesting. His parents have just visited and they come in from overseas. So I think it's quite hectic with logistics and so on, but you never know, he may show up. He was very excited to meet you, Yuri, and chat with us all together. So yeah, so I'm a tech entrepreneur veteran, you know, 30 years or so in software development, internet technologies, startups, and I have my background, you know, it started back in the early 90s when I created a product for my family business. You know, I came out of school with a math degree. I loved computers. You know, I got my first computer when I was 12 years old, and this is, so I'm not going to date it too much, but we're talking about the 80s here, so they were very rudimentary computers, and they were in the textile business, and I saw this process that was very inefficient coming out of school. I wanted to change the world, and I changed their world to start, which was like a workflow automation type of thing, you would call it today. And that ended up getting funded. And, you know, that was my first opportunity to learn about running a business, software development lifecycle, marketing, sales, support, customer success. That's where I cut my teeth in the business. And since then, I've been involved in various businesses. Some are on the consulting side, a couple of interactive shops that I ran, and I sold one in 2001. And in 2007, I had a pretty decent exit with a team. We were like a fairly big enterprise technology shop here in Toronto, servicing some of the biggest enterprises. So I sold that business in 2007. And then really since then, I've been very involved in ad tech, marketing technology, B2C, B2B e-commerce type businesses. So I'll fast forward to, you know, about four or five years ago, I was involved in a company called FlipGive, which is a marketplace, an e-commerce marketplace that helped youth teams fundraise. They basically can do shopping together and they make money for their team. A portion of that shopping goes back to their team. And that's where I met Cyrus. Cyrus was involved in, you know, he was involved in a series of projects that were social media based, and one of them focused on Instagram. You know, it was a SaaS business. That I felt that had potential, you know, the Instagram space and Instagram. I've been looking for a project to get going there, and Cyrus and I hit it off. He comes from an engineering background, his PhD, but he's a great product person. And I felt I had a kindred spirit there, somebody who likes to hack, who loves to grow. Who has a similar pragmatic mentality that I do in terms of growing a business and prioritizing how we go to market. So basically we had this small Instagram business. We felt it was an interesting kind of launch point, right? We spent about close to 2 years building it, generating cash. And it really is what gave us the financial freedom to start building a influencer.
Okay.
Eventually in 2019, we said, you know, based on our experience in Instagram growth, influencer marketing, what is the real opportunity? And what we saw was this sort of this trajectory on, you know, through a group like, I don't know if you know about Shopify, but it's a Canadian company, Shopify. It's huge,
right?
Huge business,
right?
$1 million business today. There was a big uptake in people starting their own stores. And at the same time, you know, being someone who's grown businesses up to $100 million or so, I know what it takes to grow. You know, you have the organic channels, then you have a lot of paid channels that are becoming more and more difficult to compete, especially for a small business,
mm-hmm.
right? So influencer is essentially a form of word of mouth marketing that helps a small brand compete with the bigger brand, because you have an instant sort of trust relationship. When an influencer introduces you to their audience, they're immediately building trust for your brand. They're also delivering leads and followers at a much better ROI than paid media.
Mm-hmm.
But the real challenge for the small business person, and obviously, you know, working with micro influencers, if you know the difference between a mega or bigger influencer, micro influencers, say from 20,000 to 150,000 followers, those influencers or the people we are servicing weren't really making the kind of money they should be making. They're actually making small bits and doing all kinds of weird deals,
mm-hmm. a lot of affiliate
type deals just to get by. So we see on one side, small businesses that are really you know, looking for a competitive edge. And then on the other side, you see these micro influencers who are really not realizing their true potential.
Right.
And that's where influencers were born, to connect small businesses with micro influencers in an area where there's very little friction and it's very easy to use. And to what today is what we're calling the first truly free DIY marketplace for influencer marketing. So anyone can come to any influencer, start, you know, any brand can come there and start working, create their ad. They can join free. They can use all of the tools for free. So you can create your ad, discover influencers, invite them through our platform, negotiate mm-hmm. and manage the deal itself, finalize the deal, you know, what creative they're going to post, what the strategy is, you know, the duration, the price. They can lock the deal down, make a payment and manage all their payments and measure the campaigns all in one place. And for the brand, right. It's all free, right? So that was the vision that we had. And quite frankly, Yuri, we see ourselves as very much a mission-based company. Our vision is to make, you know, provide financial freedom and to spur on this level of entrepreneurialism within these mm-hmm. small businesses and micro-influencers. We believe that that's where the huge market is. And with COVID, things kind of, you know, e-commerce.
I imagine it
blew up, right? It's just like amazing what happened. So, you know, we think we're in the right place at the right time. And
yeah, I think I'm also, you know, investing more and more time on Instagram for my business, but then not as an influencer, but just to, you know, creating content out there and getting people to react and to book calls with me, and also for my clients. I see that's a platform where there is a lot of, I would say, things going on comparing to, for instance, Facebook. The feeling I have with Instagram is way more positive at this moment than I have with a platform like Facebook. Also, I see, as you said, with COVID, people want to be there or have more time or try to earn some money through the internet or through social media. And then they want to get, you know, all these followers. Having followers is a thing now with a lot of people. Of course, you need to have the right followers. And then I hear you about those micro-influencers.
Yeah.
It can be really useful for small businesses, because those have normally a smaller audience, but an engaged audience and a specific audience. And it can be for small business really be a difference. So yeah, I love the way the platform that you built. And I know there are others out there that want to try to build, I guess, the same thing. But how are you different with your solution or your platform? What makes it stand out?
Yeah, that's always the question, right? What makes it stand out is the fact that it's truly accessible to any business. So where we're looking at in terms of competitors, you'll see most of them, if not all, are really focused on getting a big budget. Your traditional marketing agency approach, meaning you mm-hmm. you work on a brief with a customer, you get the budget, And ultimately, there's a bunch of services associated with it and a platform commitment, right? So you need to, it's basically they're SaaS operators who are providing data or they're providing the tools. And then they have sort of some kind of service-based element associated with it. So as a small business yourself, and I understand it quite well, most businesses will not pay anything really. They don't even like working with agencies to a certain degree, right? The theme today is DIY, right? So, you know, and the analogy we have is something of a kind of a Fiverr, but for influencer marketing.
Ah, okay, I see. Right? Yeah,
it really is more. It's more like Fiverr or Upwork rather than, you know, a SaaS platform where you're committing to a monthly fee and you know, you need to have some agency to help you make it work. Our vision really is to make it truly DIY. You can go in there, get coaching from, you know, we're building coaching now, right? We have a customer success team that's coming together.
Okay.
To make you successful on that first campaign, right? Once you see how it works, you'll see it's very easy to do. And it's almost like fun because you're meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Instagram it's a fantastic platform. I mean, ultimately we also have today, you also have a TikTok and other.
Yeah.
Instagram is extremely, I think what you're getting, and it's an interesting insight. It's all about engagement, right? It's an engagement platform. It's about fun, creativity, images, video. It's about having fun. So.
Yeah, it is like, you know, and also TikTok is about that. And I was thinking about the same thing, that TikTok is also a platform, you know, it's about followers, about engagement, about fun, because that is what gets people attracted to you, that they become aware that you exist and they get an interest because, okay, this person is talking about this product or service, let's have a closer look. And the brand awareness, you know, is can really take off if you have the right influencers, of course. Because it's also a thing, you know, making the right selection, an influencer that fits.
So important. So, how are we different? I think that the reality.
Yeah, differentiate.
Our idea was to make it safe, accessible, right? So to make the whole process extremely safe, have it make it completely free, make it very easy to use. And obviously we use technology, we use AI algorithm that we kind of pull together. And AI is like, it's an interesting algorithm because you hit on a point around picking the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're picking the right people, it's an interesting strategy, right? You know, say you're selling sunglasses, right? And you only sell within certain jurisdictions and you want to work with people who, you know, who are usually sort of talking about style, right? And they love the space, right? So how do you find the right people to work with is our challenge. And that's where we really spend a lot of our energy is matching, right? So matching both from a contextual perspective, like this is the right people to work with. They're, you know, they have audience in this space. They're trusted as a stylish person or whatever it may be. But also that this influencer has an authentic audience. And that's one of the issues is this kind of trust.
Yeah, right? I guess that the matching, I think that's most important, of course, that you have the right person because it can be a good influencer, but not with the right audience for the wrong service. But then it's about trust. And it's about, I guess, also your platform that you and the algorithm behind it, the AI, is you're constantly working on it or improving it, or how does the algorithm learn from itself, or how can you do this matching? Is it?
Yeah. So there's several indicators that we use or signals that feed into a couple of our core algorithms. One of them is our quality scoring. So the quality score really focuses on authenticity and relevance to us, but mainly authenticity. So when it comes to Instagram, the core issue that people have is, you know, is their following real, right? Do you have this idea of many bots out there, then people grew an inauthentic following over time. Is their following really engaged? Are those comments real? Are those likes real? And so on. So, you know, the algorithm looks at several elements over time. So we'll look at, for example, growth of their audience. Is it a natural growth curve?
Okay. Right?
So there are a bunch of inputs that come in through data. So we're collecting data points around, say, growth over time. We collect data over how many different people are commenting on the posts over a sample set of how much comments they're getting on the posts and the people who are commenting. We look at the nature of the comments. Are they just a simple emoji, or are they true texts that are being commented on these posts? We also look at the authenticity of their followers over that sample set. So, you know, are the accounts that they have look like real accounts? When you bring all of these together and you track it over time, that is all scored together. And we look through all those data points to come up with this quality score. So if you see somebody with a quality score of 3% or 8%, we put an indicator there and make sure that, you know, maybe you should look a little deeper here. Or, you know, usually you're looking for someone who has a quality score that's, say, 50% or above.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. But that's interesting
And then we have a pricing algorithm now that's sort of starting to track data on the platform. So we started out with just sort of basic pricing guidance, almost like based on a engagement rate, relevance, and CPM rate. And now as we're adding and creating more and more paid offers, we're starting to look at similar offers for similar followings and industries and start to developing our pricing algorithm for, you know, a specific campaign.
Right? Okay.
Not like the media isn't like, if you've bought media before, it's not like you're going to a website or you're getting sort of, okay, here's our CPM, right? It doesn't really work that way. There's no flat CPM. It's really based on a few metrics, right? The actual metrics around pricing haven't really been that well developed in influencer marketing yet, right? It's still relatively new.
Yeah, right? But it is.
But it's coming together.
What is for you? Because now you're building yourself here. You're trying to grow. And what is for you the objective or the impact that you want to have with a influencer? Do you have any vision, dreams where you want to go?
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, in our first year, we're recently funded. We're in pre-seed space right now. We launched in August of last year. We secured our first part of this round that we did in November, and it's gone really well since then. It's given us some funds to now start really testing out the marketing channels, getting more and more brands engaged. This year, we're hoping to accomplish anywhere between 13 and 15,000 brands on the platform. They call it 250 to 300,000 influencers. Ultimately, our desire is to be the number one sort of influencer marketing platform in the space when it comes to SMB marketing, sort of that 5 or 4 influencer marketing. That's our vision here. And to service well over, you know, 100,000 brands or more, even you can sort of work with our platform. A million brands who can sort of work with us. Our mission again is to provide that financial freedom for people who aren't making enough money. Right, so the goal is keep growing, keep building platforms. Right, so now we're really focused on Instagram. We're focused on e-commerce. Mm-hmm. We see a huge opportunity for people using influencers just to develop content.
Okay,
so you're a CMO yourself, right?
Yeah,
fractional.
Yeah,
conversion optimization and performance on media is so reliant on that creative. And
yeah,
you know, you have, when you talk to influencers, you're really tapping into this massive kind of creative community that can create authentic content for you. It's how cool is it to see somebody wearing your glasses when they're on a boat cruising with their friends, or when they're in the park wearing your shirt, right? Or taking one of your products and unwrapping it and showing a real video of how somebody uses it and sort of massaging their partner or whatever it may be, you know, if it's a massager. So really, it's like the idea to build content. That's another big use case that we're working on for next year. This year, it's all about creating market fit. Really getting, working with a lot of e-commerce professionals and a lot of micro influencers to make them successful on Instagram. TikTok is next. We have a couple other, we have ideas on how we can help people within the stores themselves, like, you know, within Shopify, Magento, all the sort of e-commerce platforms to easily start campaigns through us. So we're building apps. And then ultimately you need to, globally, you need to localize your platform and so on. So within 2 or 3 years, we want to see ourselves in, call it, 15 countries, 15 languages, 3 or 4 platforms, and, hundreds of thousands of users.
Whoa. Sounds really amazing. I like those big visions, and you know, because, and also you can really help people, because that's the basic. You want to create this community.
Yeah.
And also what you're saying about content. Yeah, because if you want to stand out, if user-generated content is a thing, or content made by others about your services or product, it will always be different than if you do it yourself. They have another vision. It's also, like you say, authentic, because it's not like, you know, edited or whatever. Okay, it may be, but it's real, huh? I would say. Perhaps a question, because I'm a fractional CMO, but social media marketing is, in fact, my basic skill I use for the clients I help with. How are you yourself? Do you have time to be active on social media, for instance, on Instagram or LinkedIn? Is it just something that you do when you have time? Or how are you yourself using social media?
Such a good question, right? The how do you get time to do everything? I mean, it is B2B, so obviously we post regularly on Instagram. We engage with our audience. We use Instagram as an engagement platform. So we're starting to build more how-tos and, you know, sort of videos on how to use the platform, all those things that are starting to happen through our customer success channel, you know, how-tos, how do you build an ad? How do you sort of manage a campaign, different creative formats, all this sort of coaching content is our plan to really start publishing through YouTube and Instagram as engagement platforms.
Yes.
From a lead generation perspective, we're still B2B, right?
And
B2B, you know, YouTube's a great channel. You know, LinkedIn is one of our most powerful channels, right? Because that's where businesses research things and connect with other businesses. Instagram is a great channel for inspiration, and some smaller entrepreneurs who sort of go out there. You know, think about guys like Gary Vee who are explaining to you how to build a business. But is it a place where, you know, and then there's people who are personally looking, you know, on Instagram, and they're sort of connected there. But how to reach businesses on Instagram is not your primary channel, right? It's consumers, mm-hmm. right? So we are very close to Instagram to help our, you know, to work with influencers and help our customers reach other people. But ultimately, from a business perspective, LinkedIn is very powerful. So we created our own user group, for example, where we're sort of nurturing that group and building it up. I do campaigns on LinkedIn. We do a lot of publishing and content on LinkedIn. You know, I run a monthly webinar that we just started off. It's, you know, a webinar on March 9th is our next webinar. Maybe I could provide you a link. It's on LinkedIn. You can join there. We drive people there and try to explain them, you know, how to use you know, influencer marketing to their benefit. So ultimately, you know, taking our content and projecting it out on through Instagram and YouTube are a very powerful mechanism for us. And LinkedIn is an extremely useful tool.
Okay. Perhaps one a tool that you didn't mention, and I was on there to get engagement, but also I would say leads, is Clubhouse. It's an audio app, you know. Is that somewhere a place where you would think that there will be a place for influencers also in the future? Because it's also about followers and about reach. Any thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I need to hire you as a fractional CMO to help me with that platform. It's interesting because I see one of my sons on Clubhouse quite regularly. And it, you know, the areas that need investigation, and you always need your team to help you with this, is it's moving quicker and quicker, right? So now we're starting to field questions around Meta and how influencer marketing will start to impact Meta. And we're starting to hear from people talking about Clubhouse, you know, how do we sort of engage on Clubhouse? So do I understand it well enough today? I would say no. I'm going to be honest.
That's no, you know, Clubhouse also, there was this hype. There are people on it, you know, spending their time, losing time most of the time. If you don't go there at Clubhouse and you don't have an objective in mind, you just lose time and you're just listening to people.
Yeah.
And I went there in those rooms. I told my story in certain rooms. Of course, you're not the same as with your influencers. You need to pick the right rooms on Clubhouse, tell the right stories, and then people engage with you. So I did that, but that's also because I've written a book. It's the 5K challenge. If people are interested, it's actually more for solopreneurs.
Yeah.
Actually, by talking to you, I imagine I should also ask add something about influencer marketing in there, because it's mostly about branding themselves, about creating awareness, creating how to go live and have people coming to you. David,
I agree. Having that conversation everywhere is important. And I think you need to spend more time. Right now, I tend to spend a lot of time on LinkedIn with webinars, with my team, speaking to customers. I think something like Clubhouse would be really, really interesting to join in the conversations. But you're right. I get caught in there listening and watching a bunch
of different right.
people. Right? I get caught in there.
And before you know, you go there, you just are listening in the room, and then people, because they see you, they ask you to come on stage and to ask your opinion. And before you know, you are in a discussion. So you really should plan it out.
Yeah, I like
go
that.
There when it's your time. Actually, I used a separate iPhone for Clubhouse.
Really?
Because then I didn't get all these notifications. Distracted. And I was not, and it was separately. And also, I could also, record my Clubhouse room through the other phone. Now it has changed the platform. Now you can record the rooms yourself. But yeah, I find for myself some productivity, I would say, hacks or time management hacks, not to spend too much time on it. David, perhaps what would be the best place on social media for people if they want to reach out to you, or they have a question, or to your partner, to your company? What would be the best way to find you?
Yeah, so obviously the first place to start is on our website. So I think when you go to the website itself, you can go to ainfluencer.com. That's the letter A and the word.
I will add a banner as we speak. Ainfluencer.com. Let me put it on the screen. Is that the right one?
No, you're missing an N. So AI influencer. So AI.
Influencer. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I made the typo. AI right. influencer. It's really live, guys.
really
AIinfluencer.com.
I love that, man. I'll also go to our LinkedIn page. So you can go to LinkedIn and visit our page, A Influencer, and you'll see there's an event. I can give you a link, or I'm not sure how you want me to give it to you, but I can.
You can, if you send it to me, I will add it in the description of the podcast, and also I can add it in the description of the LinkedIn Live so that people can find it.
Perfect. Right. So basically, I can send it to you here. That's a great place to go. At A Influencer Official is our Instagram page. Influencer Official.
Okay.
Right here. I'm going to throw this one in. This over here is where we're starting to post, different influencer campaigns that are running, people explaining the product. And this is where we plan to really start growing it. Because until just a short while ago, really what we were doing was a lot of, posts, your traditional posts, but it's gone so deep into video now that our strategy is really video based, create small little videos that are education based. I mean, what we're learning is that a lot of small businesses just don't know mm-hmm. how to make influence. They don't know anything about it, really, right? They don't know whether it's, how to build a strategy for it, how to create a good product or a great offer, what the things are to look for when you're working with them, definitions of the market, how to start to negotiate deals, how to work your way through, different formats. So I do a feed or story post, or what's the difference between one? Why would I use one for another situation? Yeah. So all of these things are so important, right? And essentially, we believe that through video and education, that's the way to help people out in our product, in our socials, in our emails, everywhere we go.
Amazing. Thank you very much, David, for sharing your story, talking about AI influencer. I'm sure that people will have a look at your website and your social media. Also, for my listeners and for people who are now watching the LinkedIn Live or watching the recording, I am launching, as we speak, CMO 100 Club, which is a club for CMOs, fractional CMOs, people that have a role as marketing manager or marketing director in tech scale-ups, startups, bigger companies like AI Influencer. It's not launched yet, but I am preparing everything behind the scenes. So if you are interested, reach out to me through DM on social media or send me a message on yuri@efficado.com. For people watching the live and want to listen to the podcast afterwards, here you see it on my screen. It's cmo-stories.com. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Yuri.
Thank you, everyone. And I see you next time. Bye.